more with this fear and this doubt. And I was like, well, I don't think I want you to cut that open. And he's like, hence the lesson. Like, getting it. You know, Steve is just like, he can just like snap. That God said, I don't know why you have to have it again. I'm like, he knows me. He's not upset with me. I just want him to say it one more time. So I'm sure he didn't mean he's not just going to take care of it. Because why? My will doesn't want surgery. I don't want things laid open and bare. I just want him to take care of it. And he knew that. But this sword, this gladius that was used, see, some of these swords were only sharp on one side. You've seen these on, you know, Antiques Roadshow or different things. They're real thick on one, but just sharp on the other. This one was just as sharp on both sides, and it really was razor sharp, even on the tip of it. So, like, they had to even be careful. They had to practice with this sword to even take it out without hurting themselves. Have you ever used the word to make yourself feel bad? Have you ever let somebody else use the word on you to make you feel bad? See, we got to practice that sword. And boy, that reminded me when I was young. Well, you know, I'm still kind of young, but you know what I'm saying. In high school, I remember that we used to have something called a sword drill. And you would stand with your Bible. You know, now it would be like an app drill. But you would stand with your Bible, and you would have to find it. And the first one to find it would get like a piece of gum or candy or something. Then we kept like track, and at the end somebody got something really big. And that's really strange, but that little game taught me how to look in the Bible. And it was like a sword drill. It was like practice, okay? So this sword was so sharp, but the thing, it was their main weapon. Like, even if they didn't have on the breastplate, even if they didn't have the shield, and you know we saw that picture, their shield was not, you know, Captain America. It was like the size of a door, because they could literally form a square, and some put it up on top and literally be a moving square, lit spiritual ears, but they had to know how to move in sync with one another, and they were all protected. And this is where the enemy comes in, and we have to be defensive with the sword because he doesn't want us to be in sync. Don't go pop music with me. Just in sync, stand together, okay? So, defensive, because the word of God is living and powerful. And I think that some people forget that. I'm not questioning motives. I think that some people believe that they need to set everybody straight with the word. I think that they really think that they're doing people a favor to go in and, well, you this and you that. But you know, we do sword practice so that we don't hurt other people. And if there is something wrong, I want the skilled surgeon in there. But I'm telling you, please listen to me tonight. God loves us enough that he will expose the darkness inside of us to the light. You maybe feel like you're being ripped open and torn apart and things are just, you know, God, I don't like this. But when you praise him, praise is like anesthesia. By the time it's done, you're grateful. I'm not always saying it's fun, but you're going to be grateful. I'm going to share a little prayer with you today that we were praying this morning in the office, and I paraphrased this, and I don't want to embarrass Leslie, but this was just the best. I wrote it. I went to my office and tried to write it down because it just really moved me when she prayed this. You know, we're praying and, you know, we get emotional. We love each other. And so when somebody's hurting, you cry and you empathize with them and you start praying. And there's just some dark things that a lot of people are going through, and we know this. But she began to pray this out loud. Lord, I give up my comfort as a sacrifice to you. When she said that, it just pierced me in a good way, right? I don't want these trials, but my reaction is my sacrifice to you. I love you, and I want to trust you so people are saved and will know you. I give you these trials as a sacrifice of praise and my love for you. And I was like, dude, that's a sacrifice. Get honest. God, I do not want to go through this. I'm not happy about it. But God, this is my sacrifice. I'm going to go through this because when I'm through it, somebody's going to know who you are. Because I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to come in and be angry. I'm not going to make everybody else miserable. God, every day, my choice in how I react to this is going to be a praise to you because I love you. Well, the second thing I see on defense is, and we've been, you know, I've told you this is a banner scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not to get each other, right? But they are mighty for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Who is that? When I read that scripture, who is that scripture talking to? Say it out loud, Ronnie. Me. When you read that scripture, who's that scripture talking to? You. That's right. And the reason that's so important is because it says, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I can't make other people's thoughts become captive to the Lord. And when we think we can fix other people, and when we think we can do that, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And if you're doing it with the banner of Christ, you're going to be mad at him because you're going to think he let you down. And he did not let you down. I cannot take other people's thoughts captive, but I can take mine. And like that prayer, my reaction can be a sacrifice of praise because I'm sacrificing my human right to be right. Because there's a lot of times you're going to be right. You were done wrong. There's a lot of times you're going to be right. That should not have happened. There's a lot of times there's going to be an injustice. I shouldn't be in this place. But guys, if God has got us there, it's for sword practice. Not on somebody else. But how can I'm going to take this captive. Not you. I'm going to take this captive. And I have to go in with the Word of God and recognize that he can help me. Now, if you're honest, if you'll write down what you're arguing with God about, that's the thought you need to take captive. If you write down, if I said right now, here's a take your notes, turn them over, write on the back what you're really frustrated about right now. Some of you would need several pens or pencils. But I'm just saying, if I said do that, I can tell you right there, we can go back over that list, and there's the place we need to begin to take thoughts captive. Because something is trying to separate you from the love of God and what God wants to do, not just in your life, but in someone else's. Because what he does is good for all. See, I don't want a doctor to open me up. But I'm not going to go to a surgeon and pay him and have him show me where the problem is and then go, okay, that is so good to know that. Whew, I have knowledge. I have been empowered. I am smart. I can name those vessels. I can name that muscle. I can thank you, doctor. Do you see what I'm saying about the Word, what he was showing me? Okay, there's just places where I need to take this and apply it to your life to bring healing, but the darkness cannot stay hidden if you want the light. You just want me to penetrate it like, ooh, radio, remission waves, healing me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm through praying. Everything's going to be wonderful. Glory now, shout. Really? That's not sword practice. That was like a vomit session, and I got out some bad things, and I'm going to feel good for about 20 minutes till reality hits again. So then there's the third one. This is Psalms 119, 101 through 104. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet, I have not departed. I didn't say that's an important word. Somebody should have caught me. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. This is sword practice. I have restrained my feet. I will not depart from your judgments. It's sword practice. Because I don't need to take that out and go, you are evil, you are wicked, you bleh. Listen, I want to tell you, these are tricks of the enemy. Two things he's got, guys. Lies and accusations that are lies. And the only power in those two things is what? My agreement. That's it. So we know from Matthew 4 when Jesus was led by the Spirit, and we know that this weapon is a spirit sword. So when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he had already been having sword practice. He knew what to do. So when the devil comes in and he's saying, oh, you know, if you want to do if, but this is one I really like. It says the devil took Jesus up to the holy city and he set him on the pinnacle, the very top of the temple. And he said to him, so the enemy has power. You get that? The enemy took Jesus and set him up there. Don't stop there because Jesus allowed it. Don't think when the enemy takes you to dark places, it's because he has power over you. It's because Jesus has allowed this. God has said yes to it. Just like the story of Job, Steve read to you Sunday. It's in there where he went and had to get permission. The devil cannot take you where God has not allowed you to go for a greater testimony. So he takes him to the pinnacle and he said to him, if, always doubt, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But that was an incomplete quote, and Jesus knew it, because he'd been taking sword practice. And here's the part that was missing. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Yeah, not just because you're testing him and you're just going to make God have to prove himself, but wherever you go, he's going to keep you. The enemy left that out on purpose. But the idea here is that God is going to send angels for protection when it's needed, not that I have to throw myself down to see if God will save me. It's the same thing with us. We go in, shouldn't he do this? Shouldn't they do that? Shouldn't your spouse do that? Hear the doubt. Shouldn't the pastor be doing that? Shouldn't your aunt be doing that for you? Shouldn't your employer be doing this? Anytime there's an accusation, guys, and the word of God is with it, that is not from God. Is everybody getting this, or is it just going so deep you're quiet? Okay? Because that's the thing. The sword is not a measuring stick to be used on people. The sword is a weapon against the enemy in me. Defense, I defend my mind, I defend my heart with the word. And then in this one particular thing, it can also be offensive in that, hey, I'm taking that back. Get out of my house. I'm taking that back. We quit praying in the morning. I'm taking that back. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not an idiot. I'm not a bad person. I'm his beloved. He has sent his son to die for me. There's a precious price. I'm not that. I will take that back. I don't care how I look to my kids. We're starting that prayer up. And if I forget it in 3 weeks, God, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to set an alarm off to remind me. I'm picking that back up. I'm not going to quit. See how that works? But here's what happens. When we talked last week about those 3 D's, this week, here's what we see that the enemy's using. It's the devil's big 4 D's, okay? Now, you see the handle on the gladius? Because you know that was a gladiator. And you've seen those movies where they're like close, and then they lose the sword and they have to go hand-to-hand combat. You're never going to lose your sword, because your sword is in your heart, connected to your mind. But this was so forward-thinking. The way that the gladius was done is where it literally fit the grooves of your fingers so there was no slipping and sliding. And if you thrust, the knob was big enough to hold your hand and give it the steadiness to continue to fight. And even when you go forward, that end was big enough so that no matter where you went, you are not going to lose your grip when you have the sword. No matter how hard the battle, no matter how fine-tuned the work that you had to do. Sure, they use that sword on fruit and vegetables and whatever when they're out. Why? Because the sword can also feed you. I'm feeding on this, Lord. I'm learning what you've done in my life. But here's the big 4 from the devil. And I think it's important that we talk about these for just a little bit, because the sword becomes dull when these things are around. Number 1 is pride. One of Satan's strongest weapons is pride. Pride is always a danger, especially when things are going well. Oh, I got this. Man, things have been going so good. Yeah, there's hidden things you don't know about. But we don't want to say to God, Lord, if there's anything in me, because we just like, no problems, right? Guilty, right? But we come in, and when things are going like this, this is when it's easy for pride to come in. When it's peaceful, when there's prosperity, especially as humans, if we're in a financial blessing, a lot of times I call it automatic pilot. Oh, I'm just going to go, and, you know, I got this now. You know, I don't really need to have sword practice because I got this. You can look at Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 17 and see about what that'll happen. But I wanted to write this down. I want to read it to you the way that I wrote it. Pride is the opposite of godly love, the way that Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Pride's the opposite of love. Pride does parade itself, and it is puffed up. I know that. I knew better than that. You didn't know it. See what I'm saying? And when we think more highly of ourselves than others, it's easy. Ooh, listen. Ouchie, wow, wow. It's easy to become impatient, unkind, rude, and self-seeking. Now, if you're going to take this word and go to somebody else and say, oh, tonight I heard that if you're this, that's not who the sword's meant for. I need to be taking care of my mind that I'm following the things of Christ. Does he give us discernment and say, hey, that's not good? Yes, but who's it not good for? Me. So I have to defend my mind. I have to defend my spirit from letting pride or arrogance, any of these things take over, because maybe I've learned a little bit. Maybe I can quote a little bit. And don't kid yourself. If somebody says to you, ooh, you like a walking concordance. Ooh, you can just, man, do you know every chapter verse? Sometimes we get puffed up by that. Ooh, you know, I like it when you, we have to be careful because we have to defend ourselves. What are we wrestling against? Flesh and blood? No, principalities and powers, those thoughts. That's why we need these scriptures to take these thoughts captive. But we can fall into this trap of being proud, even if we're doing good things. Well, I did some really good things. I don't want to get caught up in that trap, because either one can lead me back to thinking I'm independent of God, or that He and I are okay because I've done this. I need to stay dependent on Him, and I truly believe that's why the trials and tribulations come, is because anytime I start getting into the dark area, oh, I got this, God. You know, you take a rest. I really don't need you to help me. I'm going to get into foolish thinking and acting, and I need something to happen to snap me back, because remember, I already prayed the prayer, Holy Spirit, set the alarm. I should not be figuring you out. I need to be leading me out. So Paul warns that in the last days, he said, men are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. That's in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2. But why? I'll tell you why, because it's going to come up to pleasure. It's going to be about me. I'm ready to have me some pleasure. I need me some me time. Look what I've been doing for you, God. Maybe it's not that clear, but you know, I've done all this. How about me time? And there becomes a lust for forbidden pleasures. Nobody's ever going to know. Nobody's going to know. You visiting that website? Are you kidding? The FBI aren't going to come in and get your computer. Nobody's going to know. Are you kidding? You're on vacation. You're in another state. Just let a few rip off and take care of this. Now, you know, just a little for God, you know, I love you. You love me. I'm just going to, yeah, I'm automatic pilot. Jesus, take the wheel. I'm going to do what I want. Ooh. No. See, that's when we have to go to sword practice. Okay? These things are not benefiting you. The enemy's going to use it on you later. You're going to have to go back in and say, I recognize, God, this is a dark place in my life. But Lord, I will not operate in fear, shame, condemnation. I'm going to go to you, and I'm going to believe what you say about me. And here's why. Because sometimes when we go to other people to be absolved, maybe, you know, you're like a Catholic background and it's a priest. Guys, it's just the blood of Jesus that's going to do it. But you need to hear Him say to you, hey, that's right. Stay away from that. That's caused a distance. He's going to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth. But the honest spirit truth is you already knew it. But you just took the enemy beating you up with it as punishment enough instead of getting it healed and going to the Lord. You went to the surgeon and let the devil tell you, oh, here's what's wrong and here's what you did and this is how you fell out of line. And then you walk away going, yep, did it. That's in me. And the surgeon wants to come in and say, let's just expose it to me. And you open it up. I don't know of one surgeon, and I, you know, no brag, but I've been to a lot of surgeries. I've never heard a surgeon sit in the waiting room and say, man, when I cut that person open, it was some stank coming out of there. Never heard that. Never heard, dude, fat cells rolling off the table. Never heard it. Never heard him say, man, I don't ever want to see that person again. It was totally gross. Because think about it. Like, you know, you look like this, you know, right? It's not pretty. That's the difference. Do you think a man, a woman surgeon, is better than the Holy Spirit? God's not waiting to condemn you. God wants you to know, hey, this is where you got it wrong. We're going to do better. And I've got the alarm set. And if I see you heading that way, I'm going to let you get caught. Oh, I don't want to get caught. They're not going to like me. It won't matter after a while. Because those people aren't going to determine whether I go to heaven or not. And those people can't keep me away from the promises of God. Nobody's going to be bigger than God in your life unless you agree that they are. And you'll stop right there growing. Third thing is envy. This is a powerful device of Satan. Envy. Especially the kind that's distorted. It has a selfish sense to it. And it's always about fairness. Isn't that a catchphrase now? That's not fair. Well, we need to make this right. That's not fair. Let's look at the Bible. This goes all the way back to Cain's envy of Abel. And when Abel's offering was blessed, Cain thought what? That's not fair. Sound familiar to the world today? But God knew the attitude of both Cain and Abel. Go back to sword practice. The thoughts, the intents, the attitudes. God looks on the heart. That's why I know that the widow's mite was so much more precious. Jesus did not tell the story of the man who gave enough to build the temple. He gave the story of the one who gave all she had, because like Leslie's prayer, it was a sacrifice to God of love. So we know that the enemy tries to influence people. So what does envy produce? What does envy produce? This is another banner scripture. I use this all the time to measure me up in situations I'm in. Really, James 3:16-17. I use it all the time. Because when people come against me, I've got to know, are they taking away my hope and making me feel bad and hopeless? Or are they giving me hope? Like, let's just get out of this ditch. Come on, you messed up. Clean up. Let's move on. Let's go to higher ground. Come on, I'll help you. In James 3:16-17, it says, for where there is envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Oh, that doesn't seem right. Every evil thing just over somebody thinking something's not fair. I'm watching people today, if you don't agree with their point of view, they hate you. They don't just hate you like from a distance. They want to ruin your business. They want to ruin your life, your reputation. They want people to shun you. I'm telling the truth. Are you with me? Because where there's this, there's going to be every evil thing. Oh, guys. These are the big ones the enemy's using on us, these things that come in. And the last one that I have for you tonight is itching ears. Man, there's just something in there. Yeah. Paul warned us about this. He talked about itching ears. He says in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. See, I want what I want, so I'm going to use the word to point it this way so I can look good. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They want to hear. They want to be puffed up. They want to be built up. They want to be right. You've heard me say this, but guys, it's so true. How many of us are missing out on beautiful love relationships because we just have to be right? They will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll turn aside to fables. So Paul's warning Timothy in this, hey, this is just a natural human tendency. It's what human beings do because they want things smooth. They want it to work out now. And that's going to appeal to me and to you because I don't want to go into surgery. I've got the knowledge. I know what's wrong with me. I see where that is. Now I'm just going to take the word and I'm just going to meditate on the word and everything's going to be okay. I wish that was true. But clearly, he's telling me, Gay, No surgeon goes into surgery and says, hey, we've got the knowledge, we know what's wrong. They just call me a surgeon, but I'm not going to do anything about it because I like you too much. You're a nice person. Let's just let this stay there, and I'm just going to give you some medicine or something that'll take away the symptoms. And then what's going to happen to the infection? It's going to get worse, and it's going to grow. And he loves us too much to let us stay there. But he does not do it with guilt, shame, and condemnation. Those are the weapons of the enemy's tool belt, not of God's. So when I condemn myself, I have to take some sword practice. I have to, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself above the Lord. Gay, you're not bigger than God. Cry out for mercy. Gay, just get in there and tell him. He knows anyway. Okay, God, here's what I did. I'm really scared about it. I'm kind of thinking, oh, what should I do? And he's like, go make yourself accountable. Go tell Steve. And I want to tell Steve, he's going to be mad at me, and then I'm going to feel really bad, and then I don't want to do that. And he's like, get your finger out of your mouth and go tell him. Right? And then if Steve, stay with me, and if Steve's like, I told you not to run around, then I'm like, then the pride comes in. I'm like, well, I came in here to be humble to the Lord. Now you're railing on me. I'm justified. Because that wasn't fair. That's why we don't take sword practice on each other. I take sword practice between me and the Lord, and I make myself accountable. And if I got railed and I didn't deserve it, I go back to the Lord and I say, God, I'm telling you, that prayer I was listening to today, this is going to be my sacrifice of praise to you. I'm going to love regardless, because nobody can stop me from having what you want me to have. But when you are walking in love with one another and trust, and we aren't fault-finding each other every time we can and keeping a record of wrongs, as Corinthians says, then when we come in together, Steve's like, that was pretty stupid. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry, and I, please don't be mad at me like I'm going to fix you pot roast, okay? Right? And he's like, hey, I'm just saying, what did we learn? So the next time something's wrong and the Lord says, make yourself accountable, I have a trust with him that I can go in there and we're not going to nitpick each other and have the, well, remember when you did? Well, yeah, but there was two of those where you said that and I only did one of this. It seems so foolish, but we're so human. So we get the sword out and we go, the word of God says, whoa, right? And it's sharp and you're doing damage. I need to be having some sword practice on me. God, I'm just taking this faith thing and I'm just saying to you, Lord, that you are greater than me, that there is no weapon that's formed against me that's going to prosper. I'm believing, Lord, when you said that mercy is going to follow me. God, I'm believing you where you said that you're going to light the path in front of me. I am scared. I don't want to walk this walk. But, Lord, I need this fear out of me. I need to be able to trust you. If I can't trust you, my kids aren't going to trust you. And then I walk through it. So the four D's, here's what happens. Disappointment. Anytime you look to people as your standard, you're going to be disappointed. He has called me to go to Jesus. And he's going to sword practice me, so I will. Discouragement. When we dwell on disappointments, it's going to lead to discouragement. Because God has given us the Bible, his plan and his promise to encourage us. But remember, here's the third face. Again, these are benefits of your salvation. Here's what we have. It's not just justification, as Steve says, Christ in me. It's not just sanctification, me in Christ. Now I'm talking glorification. Because I can say, Lord, I'm so disappointed over that. But God, I want to thank you that my home is in heaven. And this seems like it's 1,000 years to me, but your word, sword practice, says that 1,000 years is a day. And God, I'm hoping you're coming on the third day because I'm pretty sick of this world. My home is in you. My home is in him. My hope is in him. This isn't all I get. That's the glorification of it, that I'm looking forward to being with my Father, with my Savior. And the enemy convinces us that this is what's going to make you happy. This is what's going to fill that spot. Nothing, settle it tonight. I'm encouraging you. Nothing is going to satisfy you until we get to heaven. You're not going to be satisfied. Doubt. Doubt, the discouragement that's left unchecked, it's going to lead to doubt. So here's the thing. I'm not defending myself from doubt. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to expose that sucker, and I'm going to kill it. I'm going to start trusting God. Am I thrilled about things I'm going to go through to trust him? I'm really not. I'm going to tell the truth. But at the end of it, I can look back and say, God, look, you did this, and that wasn't fair, and I didn't deserve it, and I'm just crying out for grace and mercy. If you can go in before a judge and plead mercy, and they take away a sentence, what do you think the Son of God can do for you? And division, this four big D, man, the devil, division. Doubts and worries lead to division of your loyalties, either against you or between you and God or between you and a brother. And Satan loves this. He loves to tear up the sheep. He loves to get them confused. Why? Because he loves anything that goes against God's love. He doesn't want us to be unified. He wants to cull out two or three and get them on the border so he can get them. So don't try to face Satan without God's armor. Be battle ready, but you can have a rested sword. Just practice with it. You don't need it. I've said this to you. You don't need to set people straight. We need to set people free. And when you're free, you're going to have peace, and you're going to walk in love and unity with the Spirit first between me and him. So whatever these hidden things are that you're so afraid to bring to the light, I'm just telling you, it's an infection to your soul. Get it out. Get it out. But get it out with him. And yes, if there's somebody you know that you need to be account, I got to let them know, because you know me, I'm going to take care of this later. That's when you find the person that you know will say to you, dude, yeah, but you can do better. I'll help you. Give me all your candy bars. Right? Let's just do what we need to do here and get whole. Because that's when you win and you get your peace back. So while we complain and we wander, we're losing ground. And our faith is weakened when we agree with Satan. He's a defeated adversary, but don't mistake him for being weak. He's defeated, but he's not weak. But we're the ones who's given him the power. So tonight I want to ask you this. Paul's view from prison is not to say, well, poor me. How did I end up here? All I do is try to help these weak Christians and start churches everywhere and keep them pumped up. And then they have division and I'm in prison and I'm writing them letters trying to keep them encouraged. And who's over here helping me? No, he's looking at the captor and saying, God's better than your armor. What have I got in the spirit? Let me just think. People are afraid of you because you have this. Oh, I've got this. I'm going to ask you tonight, what view do you have from your prison? This shouldn't have happened to me. That's not fair. How come they should have? But that's my spouse. Well, that's my employer. They work me for nothing. What's your view from prison? You know what, God? I'm going to win that for you. You know what, God? I am going to lay myself down on the altar and sacrifice what I want, and I want you to give me what you want me to have. Boy, there's a prayer to pray. But if it's eternal, I can trust him and pray that. And I'm telling you, amazing things will happen because you're walking to a new level of trust. Yeah, some of you look scared like, Gay, don't ask me to pray that. He'll show you when and where. He'll show you when and where, and you'll have peace with it. Just let me give you a little clue, a little hint. My mother used to say this, God's going to give you a big dose of what you think you want till you're sick enough of it to let it go. But I want to be right, because I am right. Poof. Yeah. I'd rather be loved than be right. So tonight, I want you to stand with me. Swords are meant to protect us from harm. Yes, but they're also to kill the enemy. And the enemy, his only power, once again, are lies and accusations. And the only reason it works is when you and I get in agreement. Can you just say this tonight? I am going to have what God says I'll have. Can you say this honestly? I want what God wants me to have. Yes. Let's just lift our hands right now. Let's just pray. God, those right now who are just, they are seeing prison, God, and they are not seeing a release from this prison. I pray right now that they will see whatever their prison in is a protection, God, instead of a confinement. Lord, that you're going to provide for them like you did Paul, and you're going to show them some amazing things from their prison, because the word says, your living and powerful word says, you're no respecter of persons. God, that means that the people in this room can have the same experiences as Paul and overcome. The people in this room, God, can walk with the same faith, God. People in this room, Lord, can have greater victories than was known to Moses and David, because we have the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit abiding in us to speak life through the living, powerful word. You are the word. Abide in me tonight, Lord. Help me when I'm scared. Help me when I don't want you to expose the darkness. Help me, God, because I let the enemy tell me to be afraid of you who wants to heal me. Heal me tonight, God. Heal your people. Lord, tonight we just ask for a healing in Leanne Litch's body. I'm asking God to resurrect her in a way where only you get the credit for it. God, tonight over Lynette Smith's brother, Lord, she's carrying that load for her brother. God, we just ask right now that you would touch Carrie, that you would minister to him and Lynette both, God. Let your love just grow greater than the fear and the darkness. Father, I just thank you over Christian Center of Fort Worth, God, that the things we want to see accomplished are not, God, for our name, but they're for your glory. God, everything I do, I want it to have your fingerprints. I want it to have your signature. Keep me on the potter's wheel, that I'm going to have your fingerprints. And thank you for your patience with me when I gripe and complain, when I get what I ask you to do to me. Thank you now, Lord, for patience with me later. I'm just going to thank you now. But Lord, let love and peace come. And don't let us practice the sword on someone else. But let me cut off the things, God, that keep me from seeing the hope in other people as well. And for this, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name. And they all said, and? Whew. Yeah. We're going to have integrity with that, right? All right. So summer feeding starting. For those of you who've offered to help, I know Leslie's got some, but that we've had a couple of little changes in some summer feeding. Some people had to have jobs, different things changed. So be sure you check with her. She's already told us that her sister's cooking, but her sister makes a mess. So maybe if we get a cleaner with a cook, we'll come out, you know, it'll all even out, right? All right. God bless you, and I love you. Thank you.